Briefing session. Good afternoon, everyone. This is a collective bargaining session between the UCF chapter of the United Faculty of Florida and the bargaining team for the UCF Board of Trustees. And I'd like to welcome everybody here this afternoon. Charlie, do we have minutes?
We do.
Looks good to me.
I agree. Anybody else have anything to raise about the minutes? All right, thank you, Charlie. Talat, I'd like to offer a suggestion for how we proceed this afternoon. We got together for the first time to talk about this on March 15th. We shared with you the draft MOU. And I know we kind of caught you by surprise. You didn't exactly know what was coming at that time. And we got together again on April 5th and spent a lot of our time really talking about questions and so on. And I think I've got answers to those questions today that I'd like to share with you. And I'm hoping what we can do to try to move this along is focus the rest of our time really talking about the MOU and the contents of the MOU.
So one thing that we did notice, Chuck, is that already it has been, and a calendar has been introduced. Are you aware of that?
Yes. Okay. Actually, one of the things I was going to mention this afternoon, I'll mention right now, this was actually proposed by the university's Academic Calendar Committee, which is seated by the Faculty Senate. So, you know, this has really been a faculty-driven proposal that's gotten to this point. But yes, after we knew that the calendar change had been approved, that's when I contacted the union, said we need to get together and talk about this, because we want to make sure that faculty who are interested in participating in these extra academic terms are able to be compensated for.
So JJ, just to clarify that, so this is something that has been discussed in Faculty Senate?
It was, I haven't attended the Faculty Senate meetings, so I can't say that, but it was initiated by the Academic Calendar Committee.
Uh-huh.
That is seated by the
Faculty Senate. Okay.
Well, I'm just going to try to go through these questions that you've shared with us, and I appreciate you getting those to us, and it was helpful to have them written down. Makes it easier for us to remember those. So a question that was asked is, you know, what courses are holding students back from graduation? Are those courses being targeted, and what are they? And what I've got is some information about general education courses that have very high DFW rates. That was something we mentioned last time. And, you know, I think Talat, you and your team said, well, what are those courses? There's a number of courses that I've found. I'm going to share with you the top five GEP courses based on their DFW rates. MGF 1006, Finite Mathematics. That's a course taken by a lot of entry-level students. Computer Science 1, COP 3502. The MGF course has a DFW rate of 39%. It's 38.7% in COP 3502. CHM 2040, Chemistry Fundamentals 1A, has a 29% DFW rate. MAC 2311, Calc 1, has a 28% DFW rate. And Econ 2013, the Principles of Macroeconomics, is a 25.2 DFW rate. So those are examples of the GEP courses with the highest DFW rate.
I did want to say something here. This is very interesting because we used to have physics courses with DFW rates that were very high. And once we introduced active learning in these courses, the rate went dramatically down. So this is something to think about also as we improve our teaching, you know, pedagogy.
Well, and now that's on the record. Here we've got that recording.
Yeah, so, this is really interesting. Yeah.
Some of the non-GEP courses, I've got several that I will mention here. They're not necessarily the ones with the highest DFW rates. There was one course that had two people enrolled in it over the last 5 years, and they both had a DF or W. I don't think that's the important course. I looked at courses where there had been at least 100 people who had been enrolled in the courses over the last 5 years. And in economics 3410, which is mathematical economics, the DFW rate is 74.6. CHM 1931, I could not find a course name for that, but it's 42.7. MAP 4171, optimization, 41.9%. MAS 3106, linear algebra, 41.7%. MAP 4153, vector and tensor analysis, 41%. Economics 4412, econometrics 1, 40.9%. ECP 4403, industrial organization, 40.2%. And since Robert's here, I got to mention a history course, 3462, the history of science, is 40.2%. So those are some of the courses with the highest DFW rates. And what we can...
Are you going to give us that list, Chuck?
So I'll be happy to... I'll get it to you after the meeting, absolutely.
Sorry, Chuck, I don't think that course is a history course. That might be a science course.
I don't know who teaches it, but it's got an HIS...
Oh, it does? Okay.
Prefix, yeah.
Sorry.
And Robert, I think so highly of you, I take every opportunity to rub it in or something like that.
That course is news to me. I'll look into it. Thank you.
So if you look at all those courses that I mentioned, a lot of them are sort of STEM technical type courses. It was a surprise to me that so many of them were economics. I'm not surprised to see so many of them are mathematics courses. In reality, few of these courses are really likely to be amenable to the accelerated format associated with the winter intersession or the main master. We were asked about whether there are any courses that are being specifically targeted for this accelerated format, and there really are no particular courses that are targeted. It's really up to the academic units and the faculty that would be teaching these courses to determine which courses are the best candidates for the accelerated format.
Sorry, I'm sorry, Chuck. I think my computer was freezing here. So you gave us the list of the courses, and then is it that you said, but none of these courses really are amenable to teaching them in an even more accelerated time period? Therefore, these are not really the courses that are going to be offered.
Well, but right now, there are no courses that are scheduled to be offered. What I'm saying is it's up to the academic units to make those decisions. I don't want to be the one that has to decide what's an appropriate course in your discipline to be offered under this format. But I'd be very interested when you suggest something would make sense in philosophy. But you asked about the courses that are affecting students' graduation. These are the courses with the highest DFW rates. I don't think these courses will work. In my opinion, they won't work so well in this accelerated
format. I don't think so either.
Yeah. There are no courses at all that are specifically being targeted. And that's a response to one of your questions also. It's really up to the units to make those decisions. Now, I did reach out to Theodora Berry, who's a vice provost and dean of undergraduate studies, and asked her, you know, what are some example courses that you thought might be appropriate? Again, these are not scheduled. It's just she was one of the persons that was working on this initiative, and she had some ideas on this. She mentioned short-term study abroad courses, and I've certainly seen at other institutions. That's a good example of a course that shows up in these accelerated terms. There are a couple of anthropology courses, the foundations of business, a couple of hospitality courses, an IDS 3333 issues in diversity studies, SLS 1501, which is strategies for student success, a couple of the leadership courses in the LEAD Scholars Program. And she had MAC 1105 College Algebra on that list, which I'm not sure. I think that's a great course for that format, but that's on the list. She also suggested some additional courses that might be appropriate for the Maymester, because the Maymester is a little bit longer. It's a week longer than the winter intersession. All the courses that she had mentioned in the winter intersession, she included in her list of suggestions for the Maymester. There were a couple of international relations courses that she suggested, MAT 1033, which is intermediate algebra, MMC 2004, which is mass media. Claudia, you might be interested. PHI 2010 was one that she had included there, and REL 2000, Introduction to Religion and Cultural Studies.
Yeah, looking, she doesn't know those courses clearly because.
Well, it's again, they're not offered. It's just those were things.
Chuck, were these courses that she identified because they are holding people back from graduating?
No, not at all. That's not in the cards anymore. Okay,
so we're not really the
no,
reason
we're not
for
talking
doing
about
this
that.
Is no longer that it's about
no,
helping with graduation
no.
rates.
That's right. That's right.
I think Claudia, I'll get there in just a moment.
Oh, okay.
I want to address that, but thank you for reminding me of that. We looked at some other universities, and you know, this idea of the short-term study abroad seems to be a popular thing for people to do in these accelerated terms. We looked pretty carefully at what USF is doing in their winter intersession. Their courses seem to be heavy on hospitality and health-related courses, and the rest are kind of a mixed bag. In their Maymester, USF has more variety among the courses that they offer during the Maymester than during the winter intersession. I also talked, Claudia, you may be interested in this, with the Assistant Dean in Undergraduate Studies, Harrison Onge. And we talked about this whole idea of people having trouble graduating. And we kind of reached the conclusion together that courses that would be important are courses that people could take as free electives. There may be students who need 3 hours to graduate. They've completed all the requirements for their major, perhaps, but they just need another course. He also suggested to me that something that he thought might work is courses in majors that are not heavily populated and the major courses aren't offered every semester. This may be an opportunity to offer a course that's only offered once a year a second time. He also reminded me that the Pegasus path that the university's developed over the last couple of years shows for each student what their critical path to graduation is. It points out to them, these are the courses you need to pay attention to. So students are directed to the courses that are most critical for them to be successful in. You asked also, are the course offerings voluntary? How will students be provided the courses they need to graduate?
So Chuck, if I may interject, I think taking away that that condition or rationale actually makes it a lot simpler, you know, about graduation rates, because this doesn't tie into that, but may tie into other things.
Well, it may help people graduate.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's not saying it's here's not, a course with a high DFW, we need to offer it in a 3 week format. That's not what we're suggesting.
That cannot be done because the courses with the high DFW, there's a reason for that. And students need the full semester to do that. Yeah. So as long as we understand that's good.
Yeah. You asked if course offerings are voluntary, how will students be provided the courses they need to graduate? The course offerings are voluntary. Students aren't forced into these. Again, I want to emphasize the examples that Harrison Onge shared with me, this idea of taking free electives. I'm 2 or 3 hours from my degree. I've got an opportunity in 3 or 4 weeks to wrap that up. I can go on and take a job someplace and start my career. Will the 3 week program, that is the winter intersession, be run as a pilot program and revisited next year to see how it worked? The answer is no, the winter intersession is not really a pilot program. The expectation is being initiated because we intend to continue it indefinitely. But as is the case with all programs that the university implements, it is revisited. We look at data, how are, is this helping? Is it making any kind of a difference? But it's not that, you know, a year from now, we're going to make a decision to keep or not keep it. We've got to let it run a little bit. But the expectation is, based on what other institutions have seen, that this can be successful, and hopefully it will be successful here. We were asked, would the intercessions be subject to the restriction that 9-month faculty cannot be paid more than their 12-month equivalent? And because the winter intercession is treated as an overload assignment, an employee with a 9-month contract could potentially earn more than their 12-month equivalent if they ended up getting a full contract in the summer and volunteered for an overload during the winter intercession. I could imagine that they could earn more than the 12-month equivalent.
But not in the summer, just to clarify.
Yeah, it's over the 12 months, yes, but not over the summer. There were some questions that were asked of us about support staff that would be available, and particularly during the winter intercession. While we don't know for sure, the president hasn't made an announcement about whether the university will be closed for a couple of weeks over the holiday season. We kind of assume that it will be. We've been sort of discussing things as though that's the case. That's a very different time period than the first week of May, or right after graduation. The university is still open. Everybody's still here. Services are generally available there. But during the winter intercession, I talked to the head of libraries, the dean of libraries, and there'll be no traditional physical or human services available. But he suggested to me that librarians can help faculty design course-specific instructional aids through an online platform, the LibGuides platform. So people could be prepared in advance to make resources available to students in courses. And he reminded me also that the digital collections that the library has are always available online. So there'll be no human librarians that would be available if the university shut down for a couple of weeks, but the digital options are there. We checked with IT as well, and the service desk will be available during the break to answer any calls and address basic support questions. So that's the extension that many of us have had to dial from a classroom when something doesn't work, 35117 to get help. That desk would be available even during the winter intercession. We checked with the Center for Distributed Learning, and they wouldn't plan to do exactly what they did last year during the winter break. They had 8 hours of support were provided every day, except on the major holiday days. There was no support available on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. We were told that CDL additional staff are on call in case there's an unusually high demand or there's a major technical issue that occurs. Phones and emails are answered during the winter break, but no instructional design support is available when the university is closed. We checked with OIR, who deals with classroom support. Classroom support's only available when the university is open. They're also, we're talking about fully online courses, so there's really no need for OIR. We were asked about health services for students. There are no providers that are available or on call when the university is closed during the break. Checked with CAPS, the psychological services for students. The only time CAPS would not have staff on site is when we're fully closed during the holiday break. Students can still access the office by calling their after-hours crisis and helpline. Students can speak to a counselor and get their more urgent mental health needs met until the university is open again. And online students do not have access to ongoing therapy, but they can call the crisis line and the online mental health platforms, TAO and Together All. We also asked about students' financial aid, and UCF is expecting to capture the enrollments for the winter intercession and Maymester as part of one of the major terms, either the fall or the spring. And they're in the process of figuring out, is it better to capture these in the spring or the fall? They don't know the answer to that yet, but they're looking to see which is the most advantageous way to capture these enrollments. So students will be able to have financial aid disbursements for these additional terms. We were asked, will funding come from summer funding? And the answer is no, not really, that each unit is given a budget and they operate with their budget and how they choose to allocate those funds to summer or to the winter intersession will be up to the unit. And how will equitable access be assured for faculty wishing to teach in these terms? Deliberately, in the MOU that we've proposed, we have used the same language that's in the CBA already for the summer assignments. And it says that when making appointments, we take into account programmatic needs, student demand, and budget availability. And then for the winter intersession, we also added the suitability of asynchronous online modality. That's in the MOU. The last question that we got from you was, how will coercion be avoided? I want to emphasize that participation in the winter intersession and or the Maymester is voluntary by employees and students. If there are any concerns about coercion, I just ask that you document them and get them to us. We'll look into it. We will address those things. I can't say we can prevent coercion. We will not ignore it. If there's something that's brought to our attention and we know who we can talk to, we need to have information. If somebody says my chair is forcing me to teach this class in the winter intersession, I need to know who the chair is. It's not enough to say, well, it's happening. You got to do something about it. We need to know who to talk to. But if we know who to talk to, we will address it. And I think that I've answered all the questions that we got. And I thank you for those.
Thank you, Chuck. I think that clarifies matters. So let me just summarize what the concerns have been on our end. And the first and foremost concern has been quality. And I think you agree the courses that just cannot be taught in a shorter time. But then we also, if you're talking about study abroad or leadership or some of those courses, perhaps that can be done in this time. Certainly study abroad, because I know University of Delaware, for example, has a course like this, which is in the winter, is 3 weeks, and it's usually a faculty member taking people somewhere. So yes, I see courses that can fit in. So as long as we recognize that, we're not going to be using this for courses that just cannot be done in either online or in this short time frame. So that's one. The other is, which was and still is a concern, is if financial, which is coupled in with the summer, because departments, from what I hear from colleagues, is that departments have difficulty basically meeting all the needs or financial needs to for the summer courses that they offer. So, obviously bringing this in without additional money basically means that somehow it is going to affect the summer courses. Then the question comes up, and this is again related to equitable or not, because what would be, again, we are trying to be a major university of excellence, right? So that is part of where we are trying to get. And so if courses, important courses, get offered by adjuncts, that doesn't add to the quality of education or, that doesn't enhance the value of the UCF brand. So that is a concern that, departments choose to offer some courses provided and taught by adjuncts in lieu of offering these courses in the summer when they are going to be taught by regular faculty. So those are some things that we have to bear in mind, that essentially we are not compromising quality as well, as because, there are regular faculty who are have the authority and have the training to teach these courses. And with all due respect, when you hire somebody as an adjunct, they don't have the same kind of experience, at least, right? So I think we have to be wary of that, and the fact that we cannot rely on adjuncts for a number of reasons if we want to be a quality university. So those are, I think, have been the main concerns. I think in some ways, you know, some of the courses that, as you mentioned, they are suitable for this short period, and I think colleagues would probably welcome the opportunity to do that if they have the time. You know, we've talked about how it will stress people out and all of that, but as you're saying, coercion, at least if you find out, it will be, at least it will be interrogated and diminished, right, to the extent possible. So I think we have laid out all those issues, right?
If I may, Talat, I'd like to address that just very briefly, I think. And I appreciate you sharing those concerns about the quality and funding. I understand completely. And I share those concerns about the quality. We want every course that we offer to be the very best that it can be, because anytime there's a weak course that's offered, it reflects on all of us. It isn't, so we want this to be good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can't say how departments are supposed to budget, whatever funds are available to them. But I hope that the UFF does not lose sight of the fact that we said, we want to meet with you. We want to talk to you about how your members would be paid. We're saying we want our faculty involved in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's still the budget consideration that chairs and directors have to deal with, no question about it.
Yeah.
But we're here because we care about quality, and we hope that the funds are available so that faculty who are interested in participating in these, and if there's a course that they can offer that makes sense for this format, we hope that happens. Is it going to be a lot of people? No. We told you last time that in the winter intersession, USF offers 20 courses. So this isn't going to affect, big numbers of people. And they've been doing it for a while. It may not be 20 at UCF the first year, the first couple of years doing this. We don't know. But I assure you that there's great interest in quality, and the whole purpose of us proposing this MOU is because we want this option to be there for those in-unit faculty members who want to participate in these sessions. That's the whole reason we're here. We want the faculty to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I hope that's clear.
Yeah. So what you want to do is you want to go over the details.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in reactions that you and your team have to the MOU that we proposed last month. Haven't really spent any time talking about the actual language of the MOU, and I think it'd be great if we could do that.
So maybe the thing to do would be to take a little break, maybe 10 minutes or so, and then we, because part of it is just to get everybody on board. We had talked about specific, there were various things. For example, why was the tuition for faculty members and their children and that not included? So that was one concern. I think we raised several of them. The 12-month employee, I think you've already addressed, but I think there are these little details. So I think maybe what we could do is take a little break. What do you guys think of a caucus on around it and see and come back maybe in about 10 minutes or something like that?
Why don't we shoot for 15?
15 would be
great. And we'll try to make sure that it's done for sure.
It looks like Charlie is sending us to room one. Thanks, Charlie.
Well, who do you want to go to room one, Charlie? You're muted.
I actually think I messed that up. I've never made a breakout room before, and I messed it up. Claudia, I made you a co-host. Oh, she's all
she's gone into
room one.
Charlie, I'm going to invite our team to a Teams meeting. I'm going to get That's out
fine.
Of this.
That's fine. I have to leave this running. So
okay. We'll all go to room one.
Charlie, you put me with the faculty. I don't want to overhear.
No, I didn't do anything. I just hit breakout rooms, and then it kind of just went on its own.
So, oh, gotcha.
Sorry. Dan, let everybody know that I've messed this up somehow.
Wait. So am I staying here?
Yeah, well, Chuck's opening up a Teams for us to go to. Claudia, I'm so sorry. I made you co-host so you can help fix things.
Okay, am I co-host now?
You are co-host, at least. Yes, you're a co-host. So.
And why did you want me to be co-host?
Just in case, because you're the only one I know of that can handle all this. So.
All right, I will see. I will just go to the room then. And
yeah, fine. Okay, sorry.
That's fine. I just have to find the breakout room again. There we go.
Reactivate. Okay, I believe the recording is back on.
Okay. Right, thank you for restarting that, Charlie. Slot, if I understand what you're suggesting to us is that we meet again next week on May 3rd.
Yeah, that would be great. What I suggest is that we will come with whatever changes, modifications we need to do, so that way the process will be quicker. We'll come with the document and then we'll go over it. And right now we are all shaken up, so maybe this is not the best way to proceed. So if it works for you guys on May 3rd, then that would be great.
And I would also like for Charlie to assure us that any transcript that may have inadvertently been recorded of our breakout group will be destroyed.
Yeah, if I even knew how to get to it, I will destroy it. And
okay, I just wanted it on the record that there was one inadvertently made, and we didn't authorize that, and we do not want it as part of the record.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I will not listen to it.
That probably was an indicator already.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you. So we are all set then for May 3rd?
Yes.
1:30. Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for accommodating me. And yeah, I'm also sorry.
Thank you. This happened. And I'm really sorry.